Welcome to Talking Baloney.
Calvin Coco Pop.
This is Boutique.
Oh, gosh.
What is going on?
No script allowed.
What are you, some kind of bot? Come on, people.
Oh, yeah.
You want a pickle, you gotta give him a pickle, right?
I want to be a movie star.
Wow, that sounds so interesting.
Fresh and quick.
Pudgies, pizza.
Part of the Baloney Nation.
Jim DZ.
You guys still there?
Hey, what's going on, big guy?
What is going on, Jim Deasy?
A little special episode today.
Yeah, we're live on Facebook.
How about that? Yeah. Live. You know what's good about that? Because we know Facebook shares the same rules we do. No politics and no religion.
Is that what they do?
Absolutely not. But we do.
And what are we talking about today, Jim?
Tom Hanks.
That's right.
Yes.
We're going to go through Tom Hanks's box office kind of history, like we did recently with movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to find out what's the best Tom Hanks movie.
Man, I could take a couple stabs in the dark.
Yeah, that's what we're here for, stabs in the dark. Yep. Go ahead.
I'm going to say, if I was going off nostalgia alone, I would say Big. But Saving Private Ryan's got to be right up there.
So again, we're looking at box office.
Yeah,
so
right.
Think box office. What's the, and this is global,
obviously,
global box office.
Obviously, Forrest Gump.
Number one all time is The Da Vinci Code.
What?
$758 million. On a global scale.
I was going to say, a lot of this has got to be, overseas stuff. They really like those kind of movies.
What do you think about that?
I've seen the movies, and I got to say, it's, we all know that, church hides a lot of things. It's probably why we don't talk about politics and religion on this show. Okay. Yipper.
I think the movie, obviously based on a huge best-selling book to begin with.
Tom Clancy?
No.
Damn it.
Dan Brown.
All right.
Are we playing Trivial Pursuit again? What's going on? So that was the first of those Dan Brown movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew. Is it Amazon that has a new series based on that same character?
Really?
Just started up? Not with Tom Hanks, though.
Okay, all right.
So, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, doesn't have Tom Hanks in it. I'm not watching it.
Number two for Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
Forrest Gump.
I would have thought this would have been number one, because this was just a global movie.
Yeah, $677 million.
Huh.
It kind of feels like it's a bigger hit than that, because
I would have to say, I wonder how many people bought it on Blu-ray and bought it on DVD and still, it's on every freaking night on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the stations is playing it.
And it's got like a longer impact than, I think, the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You like that? I tried to use facial expressions.
Yep. We got an avid fan that's always like, hey, you guys don't make it up. No facial expressions.
So there's that. What's your favorite moment from Forrest Gump?
I love his bench scenes, where he's telling the stories, but I like this, the little scenes where he's like trying to take, it's almost like he was credited for making the, it happens stickers and stuff and
yeah.
Making the have a nice day t-shirt and,
right.
Tells a nice little story. I do. I love the Lieutenant Dan segments.
Oh, yeah. Lieutenant Dan. That Gary Sinise, he pretty much made his career from that one role.
Yeah, and he's phenomenal. But everybody in the movie is, But, yeah, there's a nice little love story going on in there, too, as well, Yeah, good movie.
Yeah.
Good movie.
And so this was directed by Robert Zemeckis. You know him from Back to the Future.
Yes, the puffer vest.
Yeah, that's the first thing you go to is the vest.
Always.
Robert Zemeckis is going to pop up a lot in this because Tom Hanks works with Spielberg, Zemeckis, a lot of these guys over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So number three for Tom Hanks, all time, global box office.
Okay.
Angels and Demons.
Another religious movie.
The sequel to The Da Vinci Code. $486
million. You could almost say this was a flop based off the first one. I mean, my God, we're $300 million down.
Well, I think you're onto something, too, because I think critically it wasn't perceived as well.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, we didn't really talk about the actual movie. I thought it was okay, but it was like one of those kind of like National Treasure type movies.
Yeah.
And I think this second one, they went too far with it. It's like, you can believe some of the stuff some of the time, but...
Is this the one that takes place like they're, he's locked in the Vatican vault?
I believe this is the one at the Vatican.
Yeah, I had a hard time with this. I've seen these movies, and this one was hard to watch.
Yeah. It just gets to be too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I mean, just steal the Declaration of Independence already. It worked for Nicolas Cage.
And that was way too much.
Yeah, way over the top.
All right, now, number four, Saving Private Ryan.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Tell me about it.
Yes, this is a great movie. Love the transition from in the beginning and at the end in the credits when they transition from his character, or not his character, but the...
played by Matt Damon.
Matt Damon's character to the older guy. Love that. Love that transition. Great, great movie. Great movie.
Yeah. A star-studded movie. Lots of people in it.
Yeah.
You forget about it. Vin Diesel was in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he actually looked like he could be an actor at that time.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, they didn't give him a lot of lines. You know, short and brief. That's the way Vin Diesel's lines should be.
And we mentioned Matt Damon. That was like his, I would say his first big role.
Mm-hmm.
Huge movie. Obviously, his career took off after that.
Well, plus it's got Tom Sizemore in it.
Yeah, you remember Tom Sizemore?
You can't have an army movie without Tom Sizemore in it. He's got to be in it.
Oh, perfectly cast.
Yeah. You couldn't have given him a better character.
Yeah. He totally fit that.
Yeah.
Sarge.
I love that. Love that guy in it. Most of the movies he's in, he's all in too. And I know this is about Tom Hanks, but
got
to have a good supporting cast.
He was good in Celebrity Rehab. No? Okay. Now Tom Sizemore.
Yep.
So this is Steven Spielberg. So again, Tom Hanks' connection with Spielberg is pretty lengthy. Any guesses for number five?
Okay, Tom Hanks... Probably the connection to Steven Spielberg.
Well, or the connection to Robert Zemeckis. Recall any other collaborations?
Let's see.
Between the two?
Well, he's got so many darn movies that...
All right, I'm just going to...
Castaway. Yes.
$430 million. So this is his fifth highest movie, and $430 million would be... For a lot of people, way better than they ever did.
Think about how much money he's got.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what's his cut of these movies?
Well, I wouldn't say he gets a cut of every movie, but he probably gets a healthy $20 to $25 million for some of these movies.
Yeah. Man.
And I believe I read he is the fifth highest box office all time at like $4.86 billion for all his movies.
What's he going to do with all that money? Send it to this podcast. We can use it, Tom.
Yeah. Send your money to us, Tom.
Yeah. Add Talking Baloney. DM us.
So any thoughts on Castaway?
Love this movie. You know, obviously it's kind of a bummer sometimes in parts of the movie, but, you know, the fact that he makes a friend with a Spalding soccer ball. I mean, who does that?
I believe it was a Wilson.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's why he's Wilson.
Yeah. That was a giveaway.
Yeah. Wilson. Yeah, it would have been weird calling him Spalding.
Kind of a slap in the face if he did that.
No, it's kind of a sad, depressing movie. But at the end, you know, he obviously moves on, and she moves on. And
now, is this a movie you've watched multiple times? Because
I have.
Okay. I was going to say I own it on DVD, but it's not a movie I want to sit through, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that's always on the movie package that we can never get rid of because we're on Dish Network, and even if you cancel, it's still there. It's like satellite radio. It's always going to be there.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's always on TV, always.
Now, maybe one of the most dramatic things in the movie is the weight loss Tom Hanks went through.
Yeah, that's pretty dramatic, actually.
And this, again, is a guy who actually, I'm going to show the photo again, actually lost the weight and grew the hair. Mm. I remember him showing up at like an award show while he was filming the movie, and everyone was like freaking out like, wow, Tom Hanks is let himself go.
Yeah.
Well, long hair, long beard, looks like he lost 80 pounds.
He's on a list of a very few actors and actresses that get into their roles like that.
True.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks is a classic actor. A lot of people compare him to like Jimmy Stewart as like a, you know, Mr. America kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when he goes all out for his movies.
Hey, so he's paid the millions for.
Now, number six is Apollo 13.
Oh, love this movie. And Gary Sinise is in it again.
Gary Sinise and Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
$354 million. I think this was a movie that historically and stuff is like a trendsetter. Mm-hmm. Like it the way it captured the actual like space flight and the gravity situation and everything. It was like groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and this is another one of those movies that's on all the time. All the time. So if you say you've never seen this movie before, I don't know what planet you're on, because it's on all the time.
You got some quotes from the movie?
Yeah. Houston, we have a problem.
There we go. I can't believe we talked about Forrest Gump and you didn't do...
Life is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get.
That's what I was waiting for.
Stupid is, stupid does.
All right, easy. Number seven, Catch Me If You Can.
It's where he plays the FBI guy, right? Trying to track down Leonardo DiCaprio, the fake pilot.
Correct. And as you see in the picture, Steven Spielberg again.
Yep. It's a pretty good movie.
It is a good movie.
Yeah.
DiCaprio, so this is based on a true story.
Yep.
About a guy, he doesn't just impersonate a pilot, he impersonates doctors, lawyers, just anyone he can because...
He's got his own money machine.
Yeah.
He gets a little greedy.
He does.
Yep. He plays...
He's like a criminal.
Yeah, he plays up on the ladies, too.
Yeah.
Hey, cash this check. I have no ID. Good luck trying to do that today, Leonardo.
So you take this as a personal affront by Leonardo.
Yeah. Playing off the ladies' feelings.
So number eight. Now, I'm going to make a caveat here.
Ooh.
Yeah, big word.
Word of the day.
Yeah.
Caveat.
I left out most of the animated movies.
Oh, good. Toy Story and all those. Yeah.
Because Toy Story, those movies made a tons of money.
Yeah.
I didn't want to like include them.
They're not really movies.
Yeah. I did include this next one, even though it is animated. The Polar Express.
It's the creepiest movie ever made.
It really is. Like, I don't know who is this animation for. It's creepy.
Yeah.
It's
haunting.
Weird.
Haunting is the word I'm thinking of.
So this was, again, Robert Zemeckis. Mm-hmm. And Zemeckis, as you know from Forrest Gump and Back to the Future, he's a technology guy.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to push the limits of Hollywood and create new ways of doing stuff. So this was his brilliant idea to go for this somewhat creepy, lifelike animation.
I couldn't tell if the, you know, the characters in this movie were against Christmas, for Christmas. It was a hard... I mean, I've seen the movie 1,000 times. And who doesn't like Christmas presents? And, you know, but at the same time, man, they could have done a little bit better job with the... Man, the kids just look like creepy little dolls you would see in a horror movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
The whole thing doesn't make sense.
No.
But it's for kids,
right? Come on, the train's driving on a lake of ice. Believability.
Oh, yeah. And it's a Christmas movie, too, but... That would ruin Christmas.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Number 8 all time for Tom Hanks in the box office is The Green Mile.
Love this movie. John Coffey.
Yes, $287 million at the box office. A Stephen King adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Frank Darabont, who also did The Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you purchased a Blu-ray set, Jim.
I have this Blu-ray set, and I tell you, it's... Every movie in the Blu-ray set was great, but The Green Mile, John Coffey.
Yeah.
You don't understand his character's like an angel in the end of the movie. You know? He's curing cancer or curing whatever it is he's curing. But great movie.
He's got some magical powers.
Yeah. Great movie. Great story.
Yeah. Great acting.
Yeah.
Great cast.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You see Tom Hanks. You see Michael Clark Duncan as the big guy, John Coffey.
Mm-hmm.
And being a Frank Darabont movie, if you've seen any of his other work, you see the same actors pop up.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot of the same actors from Shawshank are in this.
Mm-hmm.
The first season of The Walking Dead was Frank Darabont, so you see a lot of those actors.
Michael Clark Duncan was awesome.
Yeah.
In any movie he was in.
Well, he was in some bombs, so I wouldn't say he was...
He's still good. The movie may have sucked.
Was he good in Daredevil, the Ben Affleck movie?
Well, let's be honest. It was a Ben Affleck movie.
Yeah. You already lost.
You already lost, man. But don't worry. He's still with Jenny from the block.
Yeah. What?
What the hell?
Number 10 for Tom Hanks. You've Got Mail.
Ah, Meg Ryan.
Yep.
Yep.
$251 million at the box office. So let's talk for a second about You've Got Mail, because are we at the point where we have to explain what this title even means to people?
Well, I mean, it was when dial-up first came out, and you had AOL.
America Online.
Yeah. So, folks, you didn't have free internet, well, internet like you have today. You actually had to unplug your phone, plug it into your computer, and then it would make all these funky little sounds. And then if you got an email, it'd say, "You've got mail."
That's right. Email was such a novelty, you needed a special voice to tell you you had email.
Mm-hmm.
Now your phone is flooded with emails all day long, and you don't read them or answer them or look at them.
Correct. And if you know somebody that has an AOL email address, they should be in a museum.
Yikes.
Yes.
You just offended two of our four listeners.
Damn it. I apologize. Checks in the mail.
So the movie, You've Got Mail, this is the competing bookstores, correct?
Mm-hmm. Meg Ryan has the privately owned mom and pop type bookstore. Tom Hanks has the corporate or franchise bookstore.
So we're almost at the point where not only we have to explain what You've Got Mail means, we have to probably explain what a bookstore is.
So, folks, a bookstore you used to go into and you'd buy books to read. They're actually hardcover or softcover, and they had pages in them, and you would turn the page to read the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, so now everybody does it on their e-reader smart device, you know.
So bookstores were kind of like Amazon, but like in a building.
You actually could get out of your house and get exercise and go in and smell the leather-bound books.
Now I'm beginning to wonder if you've actually been to a bookstore.
Remember, we used to go to one called B. Dalton. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. They had a lot of wrestling books.
Yes.
They had posters too, didn't
they? Yeah, they had posters.
Good times.
Yeah. They're closed now.
Number 11 is Sully.
This is his take on the plane that they land in the Hudson River.
Yeah, the famous pilot, Sully Berger. $239 million, pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's a Ron Howard flick, which goes along with some of the previous movies that we've mentioned today.
I'll never understand in Sully why there had to be an inquisition or a court hearing to determine whether or not he did the right thing. People lived. They lived.
Well, so when they said they were going to make a movie of this, I thought, okay, I see the landing as being like a huge part of the movie, but then what else is there?
Mm-hmm.
So they had a court thing.
Yeah, you had to do this big backstory of,
yeah,
you know, was he doing the right? Oh my, crazy.
So this is the true story, as we mentioned. Did you see the movie Flight with Denzel Washington?
Yes, where they were trying to determine if he was drunk, not drunk, or intoxicated, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a fictional movie about a similar situation where a pilot does some amazing thing in the court case, and it's a really good movie.
Maybe we need to reevaluate this whole drinking and flying thing.
Maybe.
No, we didn't.
We are live on Facebook today. Your comments can be directed to the original Jim K on Twitter. How about Sleepless in Seattle, Jim?
Oh, who hasn't seen this movie?
It's Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Again.
America's favorite couple, I guess, in the 90s.
Yep. Yeah.
So just from a production standpoint, I show this photo. There are very few photos of them together in the movie. Because they don't meet till like the last scene.
Correct.
And we've talked about the movie before, and I've already shown a photo from the last scene. So it was like...
They almost meet at one point midway through the movie where she goes to the house, but he's... I don't know if she almost gets hit by a car or something when she's crossing the street. And he kind of sees her, but at the same time doesn't really pay attention to her. Yeah.
Okay. You've seen this movie.
I have seen this movie, yes.
What else can you tell us?
Well, it ends with a, you know, on top of the Empire State Building, pretty much. And, yeah. And Rosie O'Donnell's in it.
That's right.
And she has a really good character in this movie.
Yeah. This is, would you say this is like kind of, they kind of set the mold for romantic comedies?
Yeah, I'd have to say that. It's right. It's right up there. You know,
because after this, every movie had, okay, the best friend is a funny comedian, and the soundtrack is filled with Louis Armstrong and Harry Connick Jr., and this pretty much set the table for the next 20 years of movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree.
And then there is number 13, lucky number 13, the third Da Vinci Code movie, Inferno.
Boy, we were a long way from $860 million.
Yeah. Now, we are down to $220 million.
Yeah.
But we should also say this is his 13th best movie, and it's still made more movies than, outside of Top Gun, any movie Val Kilmer's been in.
The old Val Kilmer.
So Tom Hanks is doing pretty, pretty good.
Yeah. That's crazy money, man. Crazy money.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of explosions and stuff in these movies either. So, I mean, this money's going right to the bottom line.
And we just talked about, like, has he ever been in a bad movie? You raised that question.
Yeah.
And we've gone through a list so far of 13 movies. This is probably the first bad one.
Yeah, and we're still pushing. We're still over $200 million, $250 million.
Yeah. And I meant bad, you know, it sucked. That's what I meant. But...
Trash.
Number 14 is The Terminal.
Now, I kind of like this movie. This is Catherine Zeta-Jones, right? I think.
Okay. Maybe. I was going to say directed by Steven Spielberg.
Hey, that guy.
This is a kind of a small movie that made $219 million. That's just a guy who...
Literally just a guy stuck in an airport because of some paperwork issues. Sounds like every day at the airport, actually.
I don't know if you make this movie nowadays.
No.
There's this whole subtext that would not work today, but he's a guy from a foreign country who is stuck because of a visa issue,
mm-hmm.
and is basically living at the airport.
Yeah.
And they made a movie about it, and it made $219 million.
Yeah. Just goes to show people really love airports. There's a story there.
Yeah. One more before we go to break.
Yeah.
Captain Phillips at number 15.
Oh, yeah.
$219 million.
Still made over $200 million.
Yeah.
It just proves Tom Hanks is the box office draw.
It really does, because this is not a movie that should be making money by anyone's estimation.
No, it's based on a true story, too.
Right. A drama about Ethiopian pirates and shipping freighters.
probably less than 1% of anybody in the world would care about what goes on a freighter ship.
Yeah. But, it's got Tom Hanks in it?
I'm going to watch it.
Here's my $15.50.
And are you selling t-shirts with it? I'll buy one of them, too.
So this was directed by Paul Greengrass, who mm-hmm. directed The Bourne Identity.
Oh.
Not a lot of action in this one, though.
No hand-to-hand combat. It would be funny to see Tom Hanks doing some Jason Bourne stuff.
That's what's missing.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty good resume, but he's missing like a kung fu movie.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Needs an action movie.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, quick break. We're going to play some music and show you a logo, and then we're going to come back with more Tom Hanks.
All right. Hey, welcome back from this iced coffee break.
I got you just as you were finishing that sip.
Courtesy of Tim Hortons.
Ooh.
So based off of this right here, it should get out of the iced coffee business.
That good.
But I'll still drink it because I paid $7 for it.
That's the spirit.
I'm a team player.
We're going through Tom Hanks's box office journey. We're counting down his top 20, and then we're going to talk about some other ones as well. Mm-hmm. Number 16 is Philadelphia.
Good movie.
Very good movie.
Deep movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a Academy Award-winning performance for Tom Hanks.
He played this part. Again, we talk about him living the role, like in Castaway. Same thing in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dramatic weight loss. Yeah. Didn't hold back. Denzel Washington was also great in it.
Phenomenal. But Denzel Washington is Denzel in every... I don't think he's ever made a bad movie. That's why we'll do a show on him someday.
Yeah. We'll have to do an episode on him coming up soon.
Yeah.
We talk about him almost every week anyway.
Yeah. He's phenomenal. You put him with Hanks, it's still over $200 million.
Yeah. And again, this is a movie about the AIDS crisis. Mm-hmm. It's a drama. Not a lot of laughs. Makes $200 million. That says something.
Yeah.
Great soundtrack, too.
Oh, Bruce
Springsteen and Neil Young.
The Boss.
Yeah.
Two Bosses.
Next up is one of my favorite Tom Hanks movies, Road to Perdition. $181 million.
I've only seen this movie a couple times, and got that old gangster vibe to it.
It is an old gangster vibe movie.
Yep.
It is. Tom Hanks is a kind of the right-hand man for Paul Newman, who is mm-hmm. a mob boss. And Paul Newman's kid is played by Jude Law, who's a bit of a jackass.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks's character has to do the right thing and put down the jackass son. And the punishment from the crime boss, Paul Newman, is that Tom Hanks and his son have to die, so then they're on the run.
Mm-hmm.
From the mob. It is a really good movie.
It's a good movie. Didn't crack the $200 million.
No. $181 million.
Still. Phenomenal results for...
Yeah. Number 16 is Bridge of Spies.
All right. I've seen this movie a couple times.
Yeah. This is, again, Tom Hanks working with Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Cold War movie. Literally... The Bridge of Spies is the bridge connecting East Germany and West Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Good movie.
Good political movie.
Yeah. It's a very adult movie.
Yeah.
A 12-year-old probably wouldn't want to watch it.
Yeah. Correct.
There goes our audience again.
Damn it.
Number 19 is a movie called The Post. Just came out in 2017. Mm-hmm. Made $165 million. Star-studded cast. You see Bob Odenkirk in the background in the photo. I believe Meryl Streep was also one of the main stars.
Correct. I have seen this movie. And it's got Tom Hanks in it, you know.
Okay.
Meryl Streep.
It's a real story.
Yep.
Based on the Washington Post and their quest to print the Vietnam Papers, secret documents from the Pentagon, exposing the fallacy of the Vietnam War.
Mm. Yep.
Yep.
There it is.
I do like movies that show like real journalism going on, set in like newsrooms and stuff like that. So I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But it's not a real like uplifter.
Yeah. You don't really see much of that these days.
Journalism?
Here all week, folks.
How about number 20, a movie you've thought might be his best box office? Big.
Look at the hoodie he's wearing.
I know. I picked that photo just for
he's
you.
He's a Giants fan. Come on. $152 million. Now, think about it. $152 million when this came out.
1988, right.
In 88.
So modern dollars, that's a lot more money.
I'll bet you he would have cracked $500 million if it came out today.
You might be right.
Yeah.
So I picked that photo out just for you.
Thank you.
But this doesn't mean he's a Giants fan. If you recall, he grew overnight.
Yeah, it was the only hoodie he could find that would fit into.
Yeah, and I think he stole it off someone's clothesline.
Yeah.
So.
But that's usually where your Giants gear is usually hanging, is hanging out to, you know.
Hanging out to dry?
Because either you decided you wanted to burn it or you wanted to, and spoken as a Giants fan, I'm ready to throw all my stuff in the fire pit. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah. Great movie. Coming of age movie, too.
Yeah.
One of those be careful what you wish for movies.
And it was a movie directed by Penny Marshall,
mm-hmm.
who's Laverne from Laverne and Shirley.
Yep.
Penny Marshall worked with Tom Hanks on the next one as well. A League of Their Own.
Madonna.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes.
Gina Davis.
Another great cast.
Huge movie.
Yeah. A baseball movie
that made money, which makes it unusual. $132 million.
Yep.
It is an all-time classic, and also a movie that is being made into a TV series on Amazon.
Really?
Yes. That's kind of a recurring theme on the show. We talk about movies from the 80s. They're all coming back.
It's like Amazon is listening to us.
It's almost like Amazon paid $4 billion for the MGM movie library so they could make TV shows out of everything.
Well, they're the only people with money.
They are.
They own the world.
So, yeah, League of Their Own, based on the real-life baseball women's league. Tom Hanks is probably one of the most famous movie quotes in his career. I'm waiting for Jim Deasy to say it.
I keep going back to Forrest Gump quotes. So.
There's no crying in baseball.
Oh, yes. It jumped up and bit me in the buttocks.
That's, yeah, good.
Thank you.
So we're skipping around after the top 20, to check out some other movies. Because he's done like 48 movies. Number 22 on his list is Cloud Atlas.
What the heck?
$131 million. It is directed by Ron Howard. No, it's not. It's directed by the Wachowskis, who did The Matrix.
Yeah.
Have you seen Cloud Atlas?
No. If okay. I have, I don't remember it.
I'm going to try to summarize Cloud Atlas.
Okay.
If you're watching at home and you know better, please let me know. And Paula. Cloud Atlas is a movie that spans like 9 generations of humanity, going back in time to like the 1300s and fast forwarding into the future until like 2600.
Hmm.
And the characters, you see the same actors playing different roles throughout mm-hmm. the times, but the characters aren't related. They're just possibly the same soul of the person.
Mm.
And there's a lot of stuff going on. It's mm-hmm. probably one of the most misunderstood movies and mm-hmm. also at the same time one of the most confusing movies
mm-hmm.
ever made. You have critics who called it the best movie of the year in 2012. And then you had just as many critics who said it was one of the worst movies of 2012. So it is a real, like, talking point kind of movie that you have to, like, see it and discuss it. We probably could watch it sometime and discuss it more deeply, but I saw it once before and I didn't understand it.
It's probably about my speed right there.
Yeah.
I probably started watching it, was like, what the hell am I watching?
And it jumps around through all different times. And I do remember Tom Hanks did an interview where he said it was one of his favorite movies he's ever made. Huh. Halle Berry's also in it. I think Hugh Grant. There's a lot of people in it, but it's, I don't know.
I think I've seen this movie. Pretty sure I've seen this movie.
And as you see in the photo, Tom Hanks plays like 9 different characters, and they're all wildly different from each other.
Yeah.
I believe that character with the bald head and the Fu Manchu was a hitman of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So an interesting one to check out.
Have to check it out.
Number 28 was Tom Hanks' first big movie, Splash.
Yes. I remember this movie.
Look at that cast. Eugene Levy, Daryl Hannah, John Candy.
John Candy.
They're all young.
No, 70 million in...
1984.
Yeah. Again, probably cracking 250, 300 right now.
Yep. And this was a Ron Howard movie.
Yeah.
This was a movie that put all 4 of these actors on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Huge hit.
What was the rating on this movie back then?
I believe it's PG.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Did you think it was going to be?
I thought it was higher than that.
Really?
Yeah.
No, this was kind of aimed at kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Disney movie.
Really?
Yeah. I believe there is a sequel that was made, like direct to video kind of thing, at some mm-hmm. point.
Mermaids. What can you say?
Well, I was hoping for more than that. We got another 20 minutes to fill.
We know they're real.
All right. Number 29 is Dragnet.
Dan Aykroyd, Tom Hanks. Yeah. You can't go wrong.
Now, this movie made $67 million, which for anyone else would be a huge hit. For Tom Hanks, it's number 29. I probably have seen this movie more times than any other Tom Hanks movie.
Okay. There's one that I'm waiting to see if it pops up on this list because I've probably seen that more than I've seen this one.
Dragnet was on TV all the time when I was a kid, and I watched it every mm-hmm. time it was on. Couldn't get enough of it.
There was Dragnet when we were growing up, and then there was another one like Car 54, Where Are You?
The movie?
Is it a movie or is it a TV show?
Well, it's a TV show from the 60s
uh-huh.
with Fred Gwynne, who was Herman Munster
yes.
in another life.
Yeah.
But it was made into a really bad movie with Rosie O'Donnell and Buster Poindexter.
That's it.
And,
trash.
Oh, God.
Trash. Throw it in the garbage.
Oh, Dragnet was a classic, though.
Yes.
The next one we're going to go to is number 31, The Money Pit.
Hey. This movie is on all the time. If you have HBO Cinemax locked into a contract with Dish Network or DirecTV, you'll see this movie every day.
And I watch this movie within the last year I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's a movie that maybe isn't a complete movie. Like, it kind of falls apart at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a great middle.
Everything
is just going wrong.
Yeah.
It always reminds me of all the house repairs you've done.
Yes. That's why I refer to our house as the money pit.
I think it's probably a good thing you don't have a house with the second floor because I could see you doing the falling through the floor and stuck in the curtain.
I definitely, carpet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't breathe.
Number 32 is The Birds.
Now, this I thought would have been a lot higher than where it is right now.
Right. It made $49 million in 1989. You're saying it should have made more.
Yes.
All right. Tell me more.
This movie is on all... Oh, I mean, obviously, it's on all the time now, but this is the classic movie where, like, somebody moves into the neighborhood, and you're like, who's that? Who's there? What are they doing? They're obviously hiding bodies in their backyard, because I would have said the exact same thing.
I think you have done that.
Yes. You ask Melly Mills when she comes on later. She'll tell you. I'm Tom Hanks in this movie.
Now, is this the movie that you've seen more times?
I have seen this. Every time it's on, I watch it.
Yeah. This movie has grown over time to become a huge cult classic movie. It's a movie people probably look to as one of their favorite Tom Hanks movies. And at the time, it was considered, you know, kind of a bomb.
Got a pretty good cast in it, too.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman's in it.
You see Carrie Fisher's in the photo. Yeah.
Star Wars. Princess Leia, for you guys don't know.
We talked about a Tom Hanks movie from the 1985 episode we did. Carrie Fisher was also in that one with him, The Man with One Red Shoe.
Mm-hmm.
The Burbs had the Weirdos. I wish I had a photo ready for the one guy. I think his acting name is like Brother Herman or something like that.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. It's a movie I feel like I need to get the Blu-ray. I need to own it and dissect it.
Think about this. If the movie was in black and white, it would be an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Wow.
Just saying.
That's high praise.
Yeah. It had that vibe to it.
I think they were going for that vibe. Yeah definitely. Of course, the Hitchcock movie, A Room with a View, where Jimmy Stewart sees what he thinks is a murder across the street. It's kind of a similar vibe, and mm-hmm. I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah. And who doesn't think that their neighbor has a, you know, an incinerator in their basement? Every time you see the power lights in the neighborhood dim down.
Now, has your mom ever accused a neighbor or just a...
They got a first, they got an incinerator down there. They're burning bodies.
Number 34 is another movie that was considered a bomb for Tom Hanks, Joe versus the Volcano.
Still made $39 million.
Yeah. A lot of people would take that. It's Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan for the third time. Any thoughts on the movie?
I've seen it many times, but...
No?
No.
To me, it was a disappointing movie. Like, it had a lot of promise.
Mm-hmm.
It just—I don't know. I kind of blame the director or something. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
The premise being, he's a guy told he is about to die. He's got some rare disease, and this island nation needs to sacrifice someone to the volcano to appease the gods. And Tom Hanks ends up going for it, and then falls in love.
Yeah.
There's a movie.
There it is.
Number 36 is That Thing You Do.
Yeah. Catchy soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack.
They literally play the same song through the whole movie. The entire movie. It is a good movie for folks if you want to watch a movie about how the music industry takes things over. Here you go.
Directed by Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
He directs in it. He plays the manager of the band. And it was a movie that discovered Steve Zahn and some of the other actors in it.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. It really is a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
It kind of follows the 60s to 70s, the kind of changeover in music as well. Next up, at number 38, as we're getting towards the end of the list, Punchline. This is 1988, Sally Field and Tom Hanks. It's a movie about stand-up comedy.
Yep.
Not seen it?
I've seen it, and it's been so long since I've seen it that I don't even remember.
Yeah. So I like movies about stand-up comedy. There's not many that are good. I think there's a pretty basic problem of the comedy that they're doing on stage in the movies is never as funny as what you actually see in stand-up comedy. And this movie kind of falls into that. Yeah. Tom Hanks is pretty good. He's kind of convincing as a comic.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't buying Sally Field.
No.
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 So that was considered kind of a bomb as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one we're going to do is the movie I think probably the lowest box office total in his catalog in terms of a movie that he's actually like in it and not just like a cameo. Hologram for the King made $8 million in 2016.
I never even heard of this movie.
That's what I thought you would say, because yes. I don't think anyone has heard of this movie.
Was this, did it actually come out to the movie theaters?
Barely. Barely really? In the movies. It was financed by three or four foreign countries, and it was had to do with Saudi Arabia, and I think Saudi Arabia might have paid the majority of the movie.
They got all the money anyway.
Right. It's kind of like they have so much money that they pay like a giant wrestling company to come to their country and put on a WrestleMania-style event every year. yeah. So I haven't seen this movie. I've read a lot about it because mm-hmm. it's kind of fascinating.
Yep.
But basically, it critics kind of liked it. It wasn't considered a bad movie. It was just maybe unfortunate that it never got promoted or
the graphic you just had up there. He's literally in a suit.
Yes.
And standing in the desert.
So I will try to explain the story quickly. He is a salesman who is kind of down and out on his luck, and he becomes a salesman for a new company that sells holograms, and he is trying to sell a hologram to the King of Saudi Arabia, and he goes to Saudi Arabia, and every day he tries to meet with the King, and every day he fails to meet the King, and just gets kind of strung out and dragged along and into all these situations. Never, and the quest to meet the King ties together with like the whole idea of the hologram is like this thing that isn't real. It might be deep. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I've read about it. If you're not going to see a movie, read about it. That's what I say.
Today's the first day I've heard about it. Yeah.
All right. So that is our little Tom Hanks box office review, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break.
Ooh.
We're going to come back. We're going to have Melly Mels join us.
Oh, yeah.
Because you and Melly Mels just had a adventurous weekend getaway.
We did. We'll get into it when we come back.
All right. It will come back in 1 minute.
We are back. Hey, it's me.
There you are.
The big guy and a special guest on this special weekend, Melly Mels.
Hi, everybody.
Melly Mels, why don't you tell everybody what this special weekend is?
Oh, you didn't talk about it already?
No, we have not mentioned it.
Oh, it's our anniversary weekend.
Wedding, folks. Wedding.
Right, our wedding anniversary. Yeah. I'm not really sure what kind of anniversary it would have been if it wasn't our wedding, but...
Could have been a job anniversary, a show anniversary.
Okay.
But most importantly, it's she's married to this guy.
Wow.
Yeah. Oozing with machismo.
For sure. You definitely were oozing machismo during your workouts this week.
Yes, I was.
yeah, so we've been married for 11 years. So
11 big ones, folks. But how long have we known each other?
Like over 30. Yeah. I lost count. We were 16-ish, 15-ish when we met each other.
Crazy, so, folks. All it takes is a dollar and a dream. A dollar and a dream.
Okay, yeah. I'm not sure what that meant. But you guys, for your anniversary, you decided to make a special weekend getaway.
Yes. Based off places that were available.
Expand on that for a second. Yeah.
Mel was trying to book us a place like Poconos, different places like that, but there's so many things going on and places were just booked.
Yeah, and James was non-committal for the longest time. So probably for the last month, I kept saying, hey, we need to book a place for our anniversary. And then Mad Dog had the idea of going to one of those places with a champagne hot tub thingies, which I thought was really cool. We've never been to one of those. It was a couple's resort. So, but when I told James how much it was, he was like, nah, I don't want to spend that much money for one night. Granted, we pretty much spent that much anyway. But so we ended up, we have gone to Niagara Falls a couple times. Actually, it was 10 years ago we went to Niagara Falls. So we decided to go to Niagara Falls for just a night to get away for a little bit, have some quiet time, enjoy the sights.
Okay. So. And I'm guessing there's more to the story.
There is. Let's just say last time we were at Niagara Falls, I'll set the mood for everybody. Last time we were at Niagara Falls was 10 years ago. Niagara Falls on the American side has not changed in the last 10 years. It still looks like the unwelcoming.
Unwelcoming.
Very unwelcoming. I mean, it's literally it's like just food places, street vendors, and some hotels.
Yeah. And with COVID, we could have gone to Canada, but we had to get a COVID test. It was a lot of hassle. You had to upload your vax card to the site. And we were just, we'll go to the New York side. We've gone there, you know, a few times before and had a really good time just, you know, hanging out. So we went to the New York side. I do feel like the Canadians are mocking us with their skyline, with all the fun activities. They've got a Ferris wheel. And the New York side is like nothing, except for the casino.
You literally look across to the Canadian side when it starts to get dark, and it's like, holy cow, man, it's like happening over there. And then you look at our side, and it's like, who condemned us?
But just to verify, the Denny's is still there, right?
It was farther away. It was on that Niagara Falls Boulevard. Right near the falls.
So the Denny's you went to is right by the falls, right?
Yeah, it was right across the bridge. It was like you could go to Denny's, step outside, walk across the bridge, and be in Canada.
Nope, gone.
Yeah, not there.
I'm pretty sure that's been replaced by a helipad with a helicopter for touristy site stuff.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
A lot of people at that.
So we ended up settling on this Wyndham Hotel.
Okay.
Right. So my goal was to find a place that had one of those Whirlpool tubs.
Alrighty.
Because I just really like to just relax in those Whirlpool tubs. Despite he never gets in the tub, just so everybody knows, so we're clear here. It's just me enjoying the Whirlpool tub. So I was really excited because I thought what I found was a King Deluxe room at the Wyndham right near the Rainbow Bridge.
Okay.
It said it had a view of the skyline, so I was like, okay, all right, this might not... We have not stayed at Wyndham before. We usually stay... There's a Comfort Inn by the falls like that we've stayed at a couple times. So we stayed at this Wyndham, and it was approximately $300 a night.
And it gets better, folks.
Yeah.
Roar! Yeah. $300 a night. You get there, you give them your name, blah, 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 all that good stuff. And then they start hitting you with all the little add-ons. $30 to park your car in their parking lot. Where the hell else are you going to park your car?
Well, that says just how safe it is to park on the street there.
Yeah. $30 to park your car.
Yeah, it's probably worth it.
Yeah. And what was the other? There was a
resort fee. So there was an additional $50 that we had to pay. So now we're up to $350.
Wow.
The hotel room that DJ and I stayed in Boston on a weekend, no less, was a posh luxury resort for $400. This was far from luxury, far from posh. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I think they put a little bit of like putting lipstick on a pig kind of thing.
Oh.
That's how I feel.
Hang on. We've got a call.
There's real callers calling in.
Just a reminder, Jim, this is not a call-in show.
Yes. No worries. We're back.
Yeah.
And I thought you said you turned your ringer off.
I did. I don't know why it's ringing through the headset.
Because you're about to play us some sound.
Yes. So let's set the mood.
Yeah.
All right.
We get there. The lady says the room is not ready, or the room that you guys want doesn't have the jacuzzi right. tub.
The King Deluxe room does not have a jacuzzi tub. And I was like, you know what? Okay, whatever.
But what it does have is this sensational skyline view of the Canadian side. Almost as to say, we're going to rub Canada right in your face that you can't go over there, but you're going to have an awesome view from the room. So I go, okay, fine.
Yeah, that's nice.
We get upstairs to the room, walk in the room, start looking around, and the room is no bigger than, I don't know, probably this desk area right here.
Yeah.
Oh.
So first thing I notice right off the bat, I go to the skyline view, the windows, and the windows are so dirty, you can't even see the skyline view.
It was very hazy.
Wow.
So we get our stuff unpacked. We're kind of, you know, dwindling down for the, you know, and I'm starting to notice little things like the fact that the bathroom is about the size of, like, it's literally a cabinet, a toilet, and it's right pressed up against the shower door.
Yeah.
And it's like 6 foot by 6 foot. Like, you got enough room to walk in, wash your face, brush your teeth, whatever, maybe spin, go to the bathroom, and maybe spin off the toilet and go right into the shower if you want to. That's about the room you got.
Yeah.
No outlets in the bathroom.
Yeah, no outlets.
Zero outlets in the bathroom.
Can I just pause for a second? What were you planning on doing in the bathroom that you needed more room? That's...
I like space.
You like space.
I like space.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, there were no outlets, so you couldn't even, if you wanted to do your hair, you couldn't do it because there were no outlets to do it.
So then, if it, not any worse, and we're just building up to the moment, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I noticed behind the coffee bar, what you want to call it, the wall molding and stuff is coming right off the wall. I'm okay. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's actually chunks of the wall are coming right down. But they put a nice new cabinet up in front of it, so it kind of hides that.
There you go.
Pieces of the wall missing. There was, like, a hole in the wall. Like, and I was having, like, kind of flashes of, you know, the building collapsing in Miami.
Yeah.
And, like, these structural issues. And I was like, oh, my goodness.
So, was this, like, a really old building? Did it look?
Looks like
so.
They slapped some paint. Like Melanie said, they... put lipstick on a pig. It was
And they have, on the website, they've got all these really pretty pictures of these rooms. And the top floor, they have these suites. And I think they've redone those. But honestly, it probably is just cosmetic. You know what I mean? Like the structural stuff. I don't really see them, you know, doing that. But what was also really funny is James was sitting in, there's a chair. It's one of those tub chairs, and he's sitting in that. And he's like, hey, my chair swivels. And I looked, and the leg was falling off the chair.
I had to flip the chair upside down and fix the legs so I could sit in the chair because they were falling off. Now, keep in mind, you know, we're enjoying our, we're going to make the best of this. And then the helicopter ride started that just happens to be right outside our window.
Yeah, that's a helipad.
Every 10 minutes, the helicopter takes off, comes back down, lands, picks up another group of people, goes back up in the air, comes back, lands. And this went on till 8:30?
It was later. That ended, and then the other stuff started.
And then the fun started.
Let's hear.
All right, folks, we're going to play a little video or a little audio clip for you to let you know how our evening started. And keep in mind, there are a bunch of these videos. Let's go.
You probably should warn about expletives.
I'm going to go ahead and warn our listeners ahead of time.
Yeah, so you're going to hear some foul language, the kind of language we don't normally do on this show, but in the essence of creating a proper kind of recollection of what you went through, we're going to air the profanity.
So I want everybody to, for purposes of knowing the location, we are in another room of the hotel. This is the room next to us.
So this is what you heard through the wall.
through the wall.
Yes.
Here we go.
I want to go out!
So, no problem. Oh,
there's a problem. Where? And, well, there wasn't across the street. No, fuck it. Go!
Roar.
I want to go, and
all right.
Go.
Shall we play one more that's a little bit more crazy?
Yeah, let's play the other one.
Okay, let's jump right into number three.
It's
closed! Right there.
Where?
So again, this is through the wall.
This is through the wall, folks. Now I'm not sure what the codes are for.
No, I get it!
That's what you said, Dick. You forgot it.
It's like these people are in our room.
I was wearing this wand.
You said that you forgot it.
That sounds crystal clear.
Yeah. Yeah. You could not escape this, no matter where you went. And I'm just going to let everybody know, this gets progressively worse and more graphic as the night went on. And the yelling got louder and louder and louder. And I don't know if we want to stop there, but...
I think we got the idea.
Yeah. So, it got so bad...
I do have a question before you continue.
Oh, go ahead.
Did she ever find her sweatshirt?
As far as I know, no.
Well, that's too bad. Now, that's kind of a sad ending to the story.
Well, I know she may have hooked up with somebody down at the bar, because that was the third conversation they got into after
when she
got
back.
She came back
at, like, you know, midnight.
And then the fighting started again, and I actually
She left the room, went to the bar, possibly hooked up with someone else, and then came back to the same room?
Correct, yes. Yeah. And then...
Still no sweatshirt.
Still no sweatshirt, as far as we know.
Okay. She really wanted him to get his keys out. There was a lot of screaming about get your effing keys.
Hammered out of their mind.
Wow.
But it got so bad that, you know, thinking that this could get progressively worse to maybe being physical, I went down to the main lobby and found a police officer who very nicely followed me up to the floor and... banged on their door, and that still didn't stop it. He had to come back again. And in a nutshell, when we checked out this morning, the manager, whoever at the front desk, could give two craps about our stay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wyndham, folks.
Yeah. We've stayed at a lot of hotels just in our, you know, time together, and that was by far the worst experience. I was ready to pack up and leave last night to go home because I just can't. I wanted just some quiet, and I couldn't even.
Well, sure, you're there to celebrate your anniversary.
It was awful.
You want to relax.
I was mad.
But it got to a point where I'm thinking to myself, when did people lose the morals or whatever when you say, hey, I'm staying in a hotel. I probably shouldn't carry on like a pack of wild animals in my room.
Yeah.
At midnight.
I do want to extend a talking baloney happy anniversary to Karen and Eric in the room next door to you. They had a great time.
They really loved their
stay. They loved the helicopters. They loved it all.
Oh, yeah. And we didn't play the first video, the first audio clip, only because there was a lot of F-bombs being dropped. Yeah. And for the sake of our viewership and listeners, let's just say it was inappropriate.
So you spared us the worst.
Yeah.
We did. Yes. Yeah, it was really bad.
Yeah.
We were at first we were giggling, you know, because it was really inappropriate. And then I got annoyed. I was like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah. I also want to say, if you're in the Niagara Falls area and you found a red hooded sweatshirt, please return it to the Wyndham next to the Peace Bridge.
Yeah. room 602, I believe, is where they're at. Yeah. So our beautiful sixth floor overlooking the Canadian side, you know, that was the sell point over the, you know, screwing us out of the tub. I get it. You know, you got to upsell something.
Yeah.
And thank you for a terrible stay.
Yeah. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah. Eric.
Karen. Jim, now, considering how everything went, do you wish you spent the money on the Poconos?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
So you've got next year to figure it out.
Yeah.
Though.
We're definitely not going to Niagara Falls. unless it's the Comfort Inn. You know, we've been to that Comfort Inn, and it's always been professional, right. Clean. I mean, it's not the highest luxury hotel, but it's always clean. They're very nice.
I think you should go back and stay on the Canada side.
Yes. Yeah, as soon as we can.
Yeah.
I would like to do that because the rooms at on the Canada side were significantly cheaper as well.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the jacuzzi rooms and stuff like that.
Insane. Yeah. At night, what it looks like.
Oh, and tons of gift shops. You can buy fudge and little trinkets everywhere you go.
Yeah, it looked really fun. I kept saying to James, I think they're mocking us with their little Ferris wheel.
Listen, the Ferris lights. Wheel at night, they're running the Ferris wheel at night, and it's got like these strobe light effects on it, and it's just like saying, come over, spend your money.
Meanwhile, you're in the parking lot looking for a sweatshirt so you can get Karen to shut up.
Meanwhile, we're trying to, at 1 o'clock in the morning, trying to sleep, and you got cops banging on the door next to us because they're so freaking loud. You're just like, I can't believe we stayed here.
Like I said to James, let's just pack up. Let's just go home. I just want to go home.
All right. Yeah. Well, before we go home, let's do two quick questions from the Baloney Nation, because why not? How about an episode on the lovely and talented Gina Davis? She's been in some great movies, and everyone loves her. Jim?
Didn't she, Gina Davis, Beetlejuice?
Beetlejuice, yes.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, say Beetlejuice. One more. Uh-oh. Trouble.
She's been in quite a few movies. She's, I'm trying to think.
Fletch?
Yes.
League of Their Own?
Yep.
Yeah.
We just mentioned that earlier.
Sure. I cheated on that one.
Yep.
Beetlejuice, like you mentioned. She did that Pirates movie, right?
Oh, yeah. I know the movie you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the title, but I know the movie you're talking about.
Yeah.
She's like the lead in that movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think her husband directed it. So. Mm-hmm.
Favoritism.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women that you guys haven't done shows on.
Well, tell us, because we're trying to think of...
Julia Roberts.
Okay.
Reese Witherspoon. I think I mentioned Reese before.
You did. I do have to say, have a crush on her. The drawback is we're looking for things that apply to the talking baloney kind of style.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of women actresses who do those kind of action or comedy movies.
Mm.
Is that... We're not really the romantic comedy kind of show.
Halle Berry? Didn't she play the Catwoman in Batman?
She played the Catwoman in Catwoman, and it was a terrible movie.
Well, you could talk about that.
Yeah, we could talk about that.
We'll come up with some.
Yeah, and Michael J. Fox, just so you guys know, you haven't done a Michael J. Fox. True. Back to the Future.
We really should do a Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, but he's not a woman, but
no. You know. I was thinking Sandra Bullock. She's done some big action movies that fits our kind of modus operandi. Mm-hmm.
Like Miss Congeniality. It's like Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got one more question. What's your favorite cell phone? I think this is for Jim Deasy. Is there any cool feature that separates one phone from another? I'm guessing this is someone looking to buy a new phone, looking for advice.
I will tell you right now, having been a Samsung user, Samsung power user.
Yes.
And also the last year and change having the iPhone 12 Pro Max, I will tell you that the iPhone is just one of them phones that just always works. It always does what it, but it's a bland phone. You can say you're an Apple guy or a Samsung guy. I've had both. Yeah. And I can tell you, Apple does what you want it to do, and it's bland. Sometimes it's just like, hey, my phone just works. You know, you want to customize things. You want to split your ringtones. You're paying for it. You know, with Samsung, it's one of those phones that you want to put some crazy wallpapers up, individualize everybody's ringtone, you know, do all kinds of crazy stuff. It's free.
So you like the customization?
I like the customization stuff better on the Android or on the Samsung. And I feel like that Samsung, after seeing some of these phones come out, you know, I just saw the iPhone 13 come out.
Yeah.
And it looks just like this one.
Right. I think a lot of their improvements are always on the inside. They don't mess around with the outside
much. But here's my thing. If I say to you, you know, hey, I've been going to the gym, so I'm faster, I'm leaner. I mean, you can see that. Right. You can see that. I could go run a relay, and you can see that I'm faster or I'm leaner. But if I tell you this phone, this new phone that just came out, is faster, I mean, obviously there's guys out there that can do these benchmark tests and stuff like that. And
yeah.
But in a real world setting, you won't notice any difference.
So
maybe on the camera side, you might, if you're a photographer kind of guy or a video guy like yourself, where you would know. But to me, I would never know the difference between the two.
So now I'm confused as to what you're recommending.
So I'm going to say right now, if you want a phone that just works and does very little extra fun, I would say go with the iPhone. But if you want a phone that you can have all kinds of crazy fun with, and you want different features, and man, the Samsung Z Fold 3 just looks like, it looks like the cat's meow right now.
Okay. So is that going to be your next phone?
I'm not sure. I would buy the iPhone 13 just to say I got it before my brother Mad Dog. Right now, that's literally what I just said to Melly Mel's yesterday. It's like, I might buy it just to say Mad Dog didn't know have it yet. But,
okay,
you know, you see all this technology and this ingenuity coming out from, or innovation coming out from Samsung, and you're like, man, they're pushing the envelope.
Now, in the past, haven't you said that stuff gets old fast and you don't use a lot of the bells and whistles?
So the stylus was a perfect thing on the note. You know, yeah. I always had to have a new note, but I never used the stylus. You ask Melly Mel, she'll tell you.
Yeah, never used the stylus.
No. I might every once in a while draw a picture with the stylus just to show somebody that, hey, right. I can do this.
Yeah. Now, Melly Mel's, have you, how do you weigh in on the phone stuff?
I don't know that I ever had an iPhone. My parents, I got them for my parents because they're technologically challenged, and I thought my mom kept infecting her phones with Samsung, and I thought that Apple. So with Apple, like, you don't have to worry as much about downloading apps maybe that wouldn't be good. But from in my career field, honestly, if you have an iPhone, it's kind of like you lose street cred. To be honest, most of us all have Android phones.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form.
So what you're saying is Apple is for old people.
Old people are just average users, like not really technology people.
Well, there's always that the lack of customization. Apple does everything for you, so you don't have to do anything. A lot of, I'm going to use the term, eggheads. Whoops. A lot of people don't like that because it limits their own ability to do stuff. Mm-hmm. You hear that a lot with Mac versus PC as well, which I agree with in that regard.
I can say, you know, since using an iPhone, I've never had a spam email go to anybody or anything like that ever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because it just works. It does what it's supposed to do. Like, I never have an issue with anything on it. Other than the fact that I seem to drop signal on it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably your carrier, right?
I have Verizon. Can you hear me now? Which is really weird because I'll drop calls when I'm talking to someone else on Verizon.
Yeah.
AKA Melly Mel's.
Yeah, the other morning it was like 20 minutes. He just dropped and he didn't have
no signal.
Wow.
And I had good signal. It was weird.
And it's clearly an iPhone thing because it only happened. I've only ever had it happen on this. And I'm driving the highway. It's always the same. The iPhone, it's always the same, like, times in the morning, and it's always the same 15, 20 minutes. So I don't know. I mean, everybody has their own opinion of phones, but, you know, I think sometimes, like, you know, they unveil these features, like, on the new iPhone. They're like, hey, this, look at faster this, faster that, and, you know, smaller notch, and you're just like, man. I will tell you, you notice the notch on your phone when you're watching a video. I don't care how you spin that. You notice the notch. It's there. On Samsung, they have that little hole punch where it kind of just fades into the picture anyway. You don't really see it much. But I will say that's one thing that I think Samsung does better than Apple, and that's their screens are freaking amazing. But Apple just does what you want it to do. Like, it's If you want just a basic phone that's, I'm not saying basic, but, you know, if you want a phone that's just going to work and make calls and surf the web and Twitter or whatever, there's your phone. All right. If you want to be a power user and you want to take it to the next level, you want to be one of the techies of the world. Samsung.
Or Android, just in general.
Yeah. How about Google?
I'm telling you, I've been checking out this new Google Pixel 6 coming out.
Yeah. I might dive in. I might go Pixel.
Really? How can you not turn down? Look, I mean, think about Google. Obviously, everything's Google now anyway. You're doing all the Google stuff through your iPhone or your Samsung phone. Doesn't really matter. But that Google Pixel 6, that phone, is a fraction of the price of an iPhone or a Samsung phone.
Yeah. And their Google Fi service is half the price of, for an individual, what AT&T is. So it's pretty tempting.
Yeah. And I'm sure they'll get some creative stuff with the carriers, you know.
Yeah. And if they want to sponsor our show and give us free phones.
We'll review it right here, right here on this show. We will review the Google Pixel if they send it to us.
For free. We will say something nice about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming in on your getaway weekend.
Hey, no problem.
Wyndham.
Nope. Thumbs down.
They probably were worried that you guys might write a Yelp review, and then this.
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's
coming. In addition to the podcast.
Yeah, it's coming. All I'm saying is this. Listen, if you're a hotel resort place, you need to think about every single guest. And it's, I just got to say thank you to the nice police guy that came up to our room and actually pounded on their door and was like, hey, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 12:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, thanks for playing that audio, too.
Oh, you're welcome.
We haven't really disgusted our viewers before like that, so that was a nice change of pace.
There's some real-world stuff for you, folks.
Live on Facebook. Yeah. First time and last time.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it. That's our show.
Oh, hey, just like that, we're done.
Yeah.
All right.
We're done.
Peace out.
Hour and 19 minutes, our longest show ever. We're live on Facebook, and we're out of here.
Peace.
All right. Bye.
Bye.